And I guess we can talk a little bit about other things that you've done as well. You've been at UniPlaces. Can you give a little bit of explanation what UniPlace is and what you did there? Because UniPlace is so big here in Portugal, but most of the people listening to this, they're not necessarily from Portugal. Some of from the UK, some from the US. So just explain what UniPlaces is.
So I'm just gonna like give you a small roadmap until UniPlaces. So you're gonna see like my road, and you're gonna say this makes sense. So once I was in my bachelor's, I was the kind of guy who didn't have straight A's or was like D D D D. I was always like in the good half on everything. So I didn't know I wanted marketing, I wanted finance, I wanted this. So what I tried to do is I tried to do internships to like get a sense of what I liked and what I didn't like. And what actually ended up happening, it was I had two big internships in big companies and I hated them. I had no autonomy, no responsibility, no freedom to do different things, and I was just sick of it. And I was like, is this for me? What am I doing? This is not for me. I can't do this for a year, 2 years of my life. So that was the point where I actually signed up to UniPlaces. UniPlaces is an online apartment booking platform. So you can go there, do everything online, and within like 3 minutes have your apartment booked. They have photographies, really good ones. They have some 3D shooting, some videos, and it's really good for people going abroad and that can actually be there to see the room. They can see it on a platform and have a guarantee. And once I got there, I got to the ambassador program, which is what was quite early stage still. And within like 2 weeks, I applied for a different job within the company. And I became partnerships manager. And partnerships was done by one guy. It was a little bit like he was kind of an entrepreneur inside UniPlaces because he was taking care of all the program. So he's doing partnerships, he was recruiting, he was making things, making sure things happen, he was making the connection with the company. He had a lot on his plate, so that's why he started recruiting for middle managers. And I started to do partnerships, and I got like, I'm a little freak about organization. I have my Excels, everything straight now. So I saw that it was a mess. There was a person before me who was like not the best person, and she left a little bit on bad terms. So I started to build stuff from zero. And then I saw myself not directly making money out of it, but being in the office until 9 with a smile on my face, like really excited about doing stuff. So that's a little bit where my enjoyment of building things from zero to 100 begin. Yeah, UniPlaces was a really good experience. I met a lot of cool people, entrepreneurial people who are doing awesome things right now. Like I met people who are now in CEO in startups, people who are thinking about their own projects, people who went to Google, like lots of interesting people. It's a really good environment to be in.
Yeah, I would recommend everyone who is listening to this to check out UniPlaces. This is a really cool platform, and still, like, their offices are crazy, and João can tell you about them. If you check them, they're like top offices in Fast Company and Forbes and stuff like
I
that.
think they're the number one coolest office in Europe.
In Europe,
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's really, really cool one, like full of nets so you can sit on. Then you have ping pong tables and it's really cool.
Yeah, almost better than Google.
Not sure, never been, but I'm interested in being
Yeah.
invited to check it out.
Maybe someone who is listening will give us
Maybe
something.
they
Yeah.
will.
And what about WeWork? You were there as well, and
WeWork is
everyone, I
amazing.
think, knows about them by now.
WeWork is amazing. Like, if you can work for WeWork, just go for it. It's like, it's unbelievable. They got me for a summer internship. We were like 16 from all over the place. And it was one of those companies that, for the kind of person I am, it made a lot of sense. So, what they actually do, for those who don't know it, they have a co-working space, either for an entrepreneur, a freelancer, or a huge company like Facebook. Facebook has space with them, for example. And if you check out their buildings, they're like unbelievably cool, like super well designed. It's all done in-house. They have a really cool setup of the company. And the story about them is also really cool. And what I really liked is was like once I got there, they just put a bunch of information on top of me and they just go do stuff. just make things happen. And they were super open about making new things, about new ideas. It doesn't matter if I'm an intern, I'm gonna have work anyways. And I did awesome things. I did like pricing buildings. I did Salesforce rollout. I did Europe-wide competitive studies. Like, I did huge projects. I met a lot of people, lots of great people. The guys above me were amazing. Ali and Giulio were really, really cool, two Italian guys.
And, shout out!
Yeah, and we just got along really, really well because sometimes people tell me I don't have a filter, so I can sound a little bit like a beast. And since they were Italians, no stereotypes, but it's a little bit true, they were used to it and they liked the frontality
the openness,
of it.
Yeah.
So if I told them straight, like, I don't like this, they were like, okay, so let's do else.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually learned a little bit about them. For example, I learned about, in London, there's two different sides. There's like the East, where it's super chilled. You can just write an email, say, hey, babe, I need this. And then you have the West, where you need to be, dear miss, it's very good to speak to you, this, this, and that. So you need to be more formal. And one of the things I learned from them, it was like, every time you can, spin things. Like, do not say, I don't like this. Say, I prefer to do that. So that's like a huge thing I had with them, because I had a little bit of a cultural shock in terms of like, I wrote an email and they were like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
You know the British, they're all, if you say, oh, I'll think about it, it means no.
Yeah.
If it says yes, it's a maybe.
Yeah.
If they say, oh, really, they're kind of being, ah.
Yeah, like,
you know?
It was like a difference between saying, can you do this? Or can you please try and do this within whatever, like, really specific things. And I think it was also a problem of not being my first language, because you're more sensitive when it is your first language. So for us, if we think about it, we might sound a little bit insensitive in English, or more insensitive than we would be in Portuguese. Like, in Portuguese, it's please this, please that, and we don't even notice.
I think for me, well, I've experienced this while I was in the UK as well. I think for us, it's quite hard to distinguish between formal and informal. In Portugal, while you're talking in Portuguese, it's quite easy for us.
Yeah.
But when you go to a foreigner country, especially because all of your contact that you've had with English before has been through TV shows, music and everything, it's you know? And then suddenly, in my case, I had to speak formal for my professors while I was writing the thesis and everything. And it was like a complete switch that I had to do.
You have a little bit of a shock.
Yeah. But at least I know now.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that when I was applying, I was like, whoa, I'm going to have to do like an academic paper the way I write it in Portuguese, but now in English.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything worked out fine. So
I had the experience of writing papers in English, but it was in a Portuguese university. So there was no shock because they read it the same way I wrote it.
Yeah.
So
it was
easier. But London was really good. London is really exciting. There's lots of events happening. There's always something new, and it's so big. It's a really good experience, but a big part of the experience is about the housing. And if anyone is going to London, please be careful and go with time to pick up a place, because the market there is absolutely insane.
Yeah. How long did it take you to find a house there? Did you search beforehand before you went there, or did you go like a little bit before you started work to search? How did that go?
I actually couldn't go because I had like an exam on Friday, and then on Saturday morning I was going to London, and then on Monday I was working. So I didn't have much time, but I went there, and beforehand I have spoken to a few people on a website about housing, and the thing I realized, it was like something really good appeared. And either you go there, see it, buy it straight away, or it's lost.
There's no time.
And I did not want to buy something without seeing it. So I didn't do it. And I decided I'm going to speak to an agency, which is easier and I think more trustworthy. And I said, oh, I would like to see this in this house on the whatever day. And they're like, okay, so when you get here, we'll show you. And then I 2 days beforehand, I tell them, oh, I'm going to come here. I want to see this and that. And they're like, okay. And then I got there, I got super lost going there. And I was already a little bit annoyed when I got there. And I sit down and I tell them, yeah, I would like to see this. I contacted this person. They're like, oh, he's not here. But those places are not available anymore. I'm like,
I just mailed spoke you them.
2 days ago, I spoke to you and you said that it was fine. You're like, oh, but there's nothing. And I was like, what about within the price range? I'm like, no. And I was just like mad.
Heartbroken, yeah.
I was really mad. I was alone in London for the first time, a huge city.
Yeah. And I was like, and you had no one, right?
And I had no phone, no Wi-Fi. No,
that, that's nothing. Why you probably lost, because you couldn't just go Google Maps.
I have nothing.
I remember when I first went to Southampton as well, like the first week, you have nothing. You don't have a bank account. You don't have this. You can't set up anything basically without a bank account there. You probably didn't do a bank account.
Because it took like a month to do it. And it wasn't quite...
You still did it?
Yeah, and I didn't close it because if I wanna go back, I just I wanna have my account. Don't mess with me, please.
Yeah, because the process is so hard there.
It's like anti-foreigner.
It takes so long because here, if you want to open an account, you go to a counter, you wait a little bit till it's your time, you do everything. Oh, it's done.
Yeah,
but there you have to book. Like a time to go to the counter.
It's not exactly the booking. It's like they require that you have a proof of address.
Mm-hmm.
So if you... And there's only a few things that are proof of address. Mm-hmm. So if you have a bill in your name or something. But if you're renting, you do not have a bill in your name. And the lease is no good. So you need to go and do an interview for the international insurance number. And and then once you have that, once you do that, within 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they're going to send you a letter home.
Yeah.
And that letter is a proof of address. And then you can go open a bank account. But mostly don't do it. And if you say you're only for a few months, they will not open the bank account. So
yeah.
I got a really good one. And it's actually a good business opportunity. Because if you think about it, if I ever go to London, I will not go to the other banks.
Mm-hmm.
Because just by letting me open a bank account, being friendly, they just got my loyalty straight away. If I ever go back, I'm going to go to that bank. There is no option for the rest. Mm-hmm. Like, no chance.
Okay.
But relating to the houses, I got there. There was that situation. I went to a terrible hostel. Really bad. And I actually had downloaded the map of like 50 kilometers in London. So I wasn't that bad. But the whole subway, and it's really confusing at the beginning. And then I actually went to see a few houses with someone on Sunday, and I just was like, okay, this is reasonable, or I thought. And then I booked it, but it wasn't reasonable. It was really, really bad. And if I had to stay longer, I would change.
Definitely. You would change again, yeah.
Definitely change. With more time, like with a week always looking, something came out, mine.
Bam, yeah.
Straight away mine, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it's a lot of money. Like, it's not like in Portugal. For those who are not Portuguese, in Portugal, you pay the first month and a caution. And the caution is okay for the last month. In the UK, they have like a rent kind of scheme where you have to put 1 month of rent in the scheme and then get it back once the lease ends. So it's just like pawned, which is really hard in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay like 1.2K just to get a room for a month.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
Okay, and lastly, one thing that I found out through your LinkedIn that I wasn't sure and I didn't know was that you were in Ljubljana, right?
Yes.
And I was in Ljubljana too.
Yes,
you know?
I know. I think we spoke about it
maybe
before I went.
Maybe, I don't know. But
was it summer?
Yeah, I was in a summer school. So for those of you who don't know, I was in a summer school in Ljubljana 2 summers ago, probably, and I studied doing business with China. It was very interesting. I can tell you guys more about it later on. But you were there in Erasmus, right?
Yeah.
How was that? The Erasmus experience and doing the course there and everything?
I think I didn't speak with you because you went with Flippa, and Flippa's in my class, so I just spoke to her. And I spoke to Luis also.
Mm-hmm.
Ljubljana was amazing. It was like, people say it's the best time of your life, Erasmus, whatever. It really is. It's like you have a course load, which is ridiculous. I had like 3 days of classes. And it's not that it's bad, but I feel like I'm not sure if it's just for the foreigners, but it's really easy. I studied like 1-2 days for each exam, and I was like, this is gonna go bad. And then I just had awesome grades, mm-hmm. which is really weird. And it's a really amazing country. If you haven't been, go there. Lots of nature, green capital of Europe, 2015, I think. Mm-hmm. Lots of people riding bikes, mountaining, whatever. And then it's really good. Like, I chose to go to Ljubljana for 3 reasons. As I said, I'm very rational, so I had an Excel also. where I do like pros and cons and kind of thing. And the really great thing about Ljubljana was that it was really, really cheap place. So it's really, really cheap, especially mm-hmm. for students. There's a lot of benefits for students. The university was well accredited. They had like 2 or 3 stamps from different organizations. And then it was like a really, really central company country. So I traveled for around 9 other countries. It was really an amazing experience. Everyone does Erasmus these days. Everyone says they're the best. Their mm-hmm. city is the best.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just an amazing experience. Amazing, amazing. But I think from one point, for me, it started to not make as much sense. For example, I had the opportunity to do an internship like I did, or go on Erasmus and pay whatever. And I decided, no, I did Erasmus. It was amazing. Okay. But maybe it's more interesting for me in long term to have a different experience. So there's a lot of people who do several Erasmus, mm-hmm. or they keep doing it. Yeah. And I think like, pass on the flame, give it to someone else. Yeah. You had your few months, your 6 months, and it's amazing. You get in the worst shape of your life because you do absolutely nothing. I had like 2 weeks where my day was waking up, eating, Game of Thrones, eating, going out. Just this.
The lifestyle.
It's really amazing, but I guess it's over.
And is there one thing that you really didn't know about Slovenia and or Ljubljana that you this is how they are? Or like, because I guess you didn't know much about the country before you, because for me, like, I had no idea what the city was about or anything. And when I got there, I was like completely blown away. I loved it. So you were there how many months?
4.5.
Four and a half months. What was something that really surprised you about the country?
Not that I wasn't expecting it, but the people are really, really friendly. Mm-hmm. Like, when I got there, I was lost, because once you get there, you have a lot of legal things to do and you need to go to Bosnia-Herzegovina and you're like, what is this? And I was completely lost with 2 or 3 people who went with me, and I actually didn't know them. I was just like, we started to get together and we were looking for a place, and then we stopped someone on the street and she started looking on the phone and trying to figure out. And then she was like, oh, you need to go there, 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 there. And they were like, oh, well, can you like go a little bit slower so we can write it down or something? And they're like, it's okay, I'm going to go with you. So she literally went there with us, dropped us there, and then she went the other way back, because it was the complete opposite of where she was going. And we were like, this is amazing. They're really, yeah. really friendly. And you have lots of examples of this. I had no idea how beautiful the city was. It's like a small city, nothing like Lisbon or London, no comparison.
Yeah.
But it's really, really nice. Like, you see people riding a bike with 5 years and with 80. And it's really clean. You don't see anything on the floor.
Exactly.
You see lots of students everywhere. It's really green. And it's just really, really, really pretty. I really advise people to go. And if you go there, you can travel to a lot of places if you think about it. Like, Croatia is just there. Italy is just there. Austria, there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's really, really a must-see.
Okay. João, I guess that's it from us. For today, at least, hopefully second episode, when you can finally tell us a little
the
bit
road
more
to
about
success.
Yeah, like, oh, I made it now, blah blah blah, you know. But thank you so much for being here with us. I had a lovely time. I hope that you did as well, and I'm sure that my listeners will love hearing this episode. And
thank you for inviting me. Really nice. And we'll get together for sure for another interview, for a coffee, for whatever. And if any of your listeners want to know more about me, they can reach me directly.
Yeah, exactly. Where where can they find you?
So if you can write my name, probably you can write on a title or something.
I will.
It's a really easy name to find on Facebook or on LinkedIn. And you can actually search my company. And if you email me or call, then the number there on my website is actually my number, my direct number. So feel free to call or to message.
Yeah, the number on the website is your actual number. Yeah, exactly.
Another catchy thing, like you do not expect that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is some sales number.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, I'm the founder.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys who are listening, you can also call in through the app. And if there's like a question that is directly to João, I will make sure he listens to the call and that he gets to answer you back. So that's all for today, everyone. This is Sunday, so over and out. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.